Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Excellent, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you with us. It's episode 4 of our 12 Eggs of Easter. Sponsored by Bed365.
Egg number 4. Let's crack on.
Number 4.
We're almost at a dozen. Oh, half a dozen. What am I talking about?
Come on.
A dozen eggs for Easter. Oi. 12 Eggs of Easter. We should have called it Dozen Eggs of Easter.
No.
All right, baker's dozen. Do an extra one.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, let's not do that. we've got a whole team of eggs. Ladies and gentlemen, this time it's the Leeds United 2001 Champions League side.
Yeah.
Nice.
They were a dozen eggs, although a couple of them cried off.
A few of them. Well, understandably, we'll get to that perhaps. But Leeds United, they all shaved their heads, of course, for that semi-final against Valencia.
Which was, shall we say, the first leg, I think, was refereed by Mr. Pierluigi Collina. Fellow egg
first
of this
egg.
12 Eggs of Easter.
Yes.
Second egg. First egg was over.
The first egg of the fixture.
Oh yeah, true. He was a primary egg.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, I mean, you know, it was played over 2x. I'm going mad.
God,
I'm first
egg.
Already.
Sorry, yeah.
Four
sorry.
Egg. Egg.
I'm going to be gibbering by the end of this.
Yeah, first egg.
Oh, Jimmy.
I like that now, Jim. It's good.
Well, yes, of course. David O'Leary was in charge of this side, and
my eggy babies.
No, yeah. No one's touching my eggs. Mm. all right, David.
Do not crack my eggs.
Don't poach my eggs, clearly.
I'll make an omelette later.
No one's beating my eggs. where are we? Yes, he took charge when George Graham parted ways with Leeds United.
Egg, another egg?
Yeah.
Egg in a nest.
Half comb over egg in a nest.
Egg in a...
Corrupt egg.
Egg in a brown... Egg in a brown envelope.
It's just seeping out of the corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Indeed. Yeah. But David O'Leary...
Brown paper egg.
David O'Leary took over in the late 90s. And Leeds were great in those days.
Yes.
They were fantastic.
A lot of neutrals loved.
I loved watching them. Yeah. They were a great team at the time. It's fantastic to watch.
And it's, you know, basically whenever Leeds has spoken about in this era, it's what happened next is the headline, isn't it? And
of course.
People don't really take much time to talk about how good this team were because they just feel like, oh, they, you know, they were, you know, they bet the farm and they couldn't back it up because of the failure to qualify for the Champions League and, you know, pay back the loans they'd made. But they were a really interesting team because when you look back, for a team that did so well, obviously Rio Ferdinand went on to have an amazing career and it was a very iconic player. They had some good players, but there aren't that many sort of huge names in there. It was about team ethic.
They kind of overspent on some kind of, like, who would end up just being jobbers, I guess, in the Premier League, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, but it was all about the team spirit, as you say, and which is why they all shaved their heads. You know, that shows the team spirit. But they had some notable players. Notable eggs, they would turn out.
Olivier Decour was a great player.
He was an excellent player. Mark Viduka.
I mean, they were across the board, weren't they? David Batty was very good at that time. Bowyer as well.
Yeah, Bowyer was really... I'll tell you what.
It's a strange
Bowyer, because of what the kind of character he was, or allegedly was, and the kind of things that went on. People they forget he was. There were two seasons. The season before this one, this is the 2000-2001 season when they got to the semi final. We're talking about when they all became eggs. The year before that, they were in the UEFA Cup. Mm-hmm. I think across those two seasons,
semis of the UEFA Cup, I think.
They did. They were beaten by Turkish team, I think. Anyway, across those two seasons, Bowyer scored 11 goals in Europe. And from midfield, and he was absolutely brilliant.
Well, it was Galatasaray.
Oh, it was the Galatasaray.
That, it was
course,
that
famous
infamous events that happened in Istanbul.
But I think it goes underplayed how good Bowyer was at that point. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he really was.
I mean, he's got so many important goals in their Champions League run as well. Yeah.
They had such a youthful team as well. But of course, the moment we're talking about is that semi-final against Hector Cooper's Valencia. Valencia were a brilliant side back then. I mean, a team that included Canizares in goal, Anglomar, Ayala, former Saints manager, Pellegrino, Maurizio, Mendieta, Aymar, Big John Carew. Even Didier Deschamps was on the bench, for a bit. I mean, it was littered with star quality.
Did they have Vicente? He went on to manage Brighton.
He went to Brighton, yeah.
He played for Brighton, didn't manage him, of course.
That's right, he was there.
Yeah.
But Leeds qualified for the Champions League the previous season when, as I say, O'Leary took over from George Graham. And they were in a group with Milan, Barcelona and Besiktas.
Oh, mate, they played some teams that year. They played Barcelona that year, Real Madrid. They played, because it was the year when there was two group stages.
Real Madrid
they played Real Madrid.
They, in the second group.
They played Lazio, they played Deportivo when they were good as well.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a hell of a bunch of games out to play.
That is out of the frying pan and into the fire, I think we agree.
Yeah.
Well, they were panned by Barcelona 4-0 in their first group stage match. Now, again, we spoke last time about the Bulgarians being beaten 3-0 by Nigeria in their first game.
Yeah.
Beaten by Barcelona 4-0, it's kind of like, well, welcome to the big leagues kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not a good start. But they would go on and get results against Barcelona. They won 1-0 at home to Milan with a last-minute Bowyer goal, which I think Dida completely fluffed, if I remember correctly. And they got them going, and they needed a result in Milan. And Dominic Matteo scored.
They got 1-1, didn't they?
It 1-1. Amazing to see. I remember watching that Leeds side in these great arenas like the San Siro and whatnot, thinking, bloody hell, they're getting a result here.
And they had to qualify for that tournament. I don't know what pot they're in for the first group stage, but they got Barcelona, Milan and Besiktas.
Yeah.
That's a tough group.
Yeah, absolutely. And then beat Deportivo in the quarterfinals, winning the first leg 3-0.
They won their second group, Spelzy.
Far away.
Lazio and Real Madrid in the second group.
It's a bit of a gimme, though. Well, Lazio, of course.
They won in Rome, beat Lazio in Rome.
They did. It was a great win, yeah. And playing in the Bernabeu, seeing this Leeds side doing that was incredible. And when they beat Deportivo 3-0 in the quarterfinals in the first leg, they blitzed them. They showed their youthful exuberance and that team spirit. And everyone was like, bloody hell, they could do something here.
Yeah, well, exactly. This is, again, almost an unknown quantity. We don't know how far this potential can go. And it's a real interesting sort of look at how times change if you read assessments of it from the time. Now, obviously, it's easy to be revisionist. as we've touched upon before, but this is from an article in The Telegraph by Paul Hayward, which is just broadly sort of talking about this team. And just a couple of quotes that really stand out that seem mad to think about now, but, you know, this is how they were viewed at the time. Peter Ridsdale, the popular Elland Road chairman, promised in his annual report this year to drive forward the development of the brand, which I think he did, but not off a cliff, you might say. This is from an insider in quotes on David O'Leary and his style and sort of, you know, the way run things at the
club. Is this what you called him, a managerial genius?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the full quote is, he's switched Brian Kidd from being head of youth development to first team coach. He did that the day after the 4-1 win over Anderlecht, one of our best performances of the season. The next morning he said, right, I'm changing the coaching staff. That's managerial genius.
I completely agree. It stood out to me as well. And David O'Leary's 60 now. Mm. So in another timeline, mm-hmm. he'd be at the absolute peak of his managerial powers. Yet, for whatever reason, I don't fully know the reasons, and maybe it's his own choice, and good on him if it is. Obviously up to him. He's nowhere. I mean, he's managed Leeds, of course, did what he did there. Well, I think, of Aston Villa, a bit of Al Ahly or whatever it was.
I think he had something to do with his son.
Was it? Okay.
I think his son was trying to get in. Forget now, which is poor, but he's basically committed to helping his son. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Post Leeds, he then...
He was at Villa for a while, wasn't
he? Yeah, he didn't really do anything. Leeds was... in microcosm, he was a bit Frank Rijkaard, if you know what I mean by that. But I know latterly, he's been involved in his son's pursuits and perhaps an honourable thing to do.
So he's found something else he wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But you mentioned a second ago that they played Deportivo.
I did.
They were the champions of Spain at that time. Yes. Mm. The only season they'd ever won the championship in Spain. Mm-hmm. So they're the best Deportivo side ever, basically.
That's right. I mean, they nearly buggered it up. They lost the second leg 2-0.
I remember, yeah.
But it was enough. It was enough. But yes, so many people like this Leeds side. You really can't underestimate it. People talk about dirty Leeds, and sometimes no one likes us. Well, they did like them back then. Goes to show how these things in football can go through different fads and whatnot. And Leeds played Valencia in that semi-final. Valencia knocked Arsenal out in the previous round on away goals. And it was a very good Valencia side, as we say. They drew the first leg 0-0 at Elland Road, and people were a little bit concerned for Leeds. But we'll talk about that second leg after this, ladies and gentlemen.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the 12 Eggs of Easter, everybody. Sponsored by Bet365. It's that second egg against Valencia. All the players shaved their heads. They became eggs.
Oh, Danny Mills was already an egg.
Yes, he was.
Terrible pundit egg.
But Ian Hart...
He's a football egg at the time.
Ian Hart apparently was getting married that summer.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And he said, I'm not going to shave my head.
I think that's poor.
Lee Bowyer and Jonathan Woodgate, who were involved in an ongoing court case, probably thought having a shaved head is maybe not the best look.
No.
I think they were literally advised by their lawyers to not do it.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Given that this apparently the head shaving was a spontaneous thing.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, I'll just call my lawyer.
Maybe.
I want to do it, but let me call my lawyer.
At the same time, Jonathan Woodgate making a good decision.
Yeah.
Is also a bit of a
leap of
faith.
At that time.
Yeah.
well, indeed. So everyone saw the unity of that squad when they all turned out against Valencia with shaved heads, apart from, as we say, a few of them. But it was really funny. It was quite incredible to see that.
Do you know who I feel sorry for?
Go on.
Robert Molinar. Who wasn't there? He was already an egg,
right?
But had been put out on loan to Bradford just down the road, and probably looked back and thought, "I would have fitted right in here. I was the original egg."
It's my time to very much shine.
My face fits here.
Yeah.
Well, Peter Ridsdale, obviously the then chairman, as you mentioned earlier, Jim, said that he would have tried to stop it because of the image it portrayed of the shaved-headed English hooligan. You know,
yeah. I mean, they're actually players, though. And who
and they're not all English.
Who would look at Lee Bowyer and Jonathan Woodgate and think that they're English hooligans?
Well, they didn't shave their heads, did they?
Exactly. But the ironic.
The court case. Yeah.
What about Mark Viduka? He looked tough with his shave.
Yeah, he looked tough anyway, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridsdale said he understood it and thought it showed the players' unity. I'd like to suggest that it had an adverse effect, gentlemen.
Yeah?
Well, they got battered.
They got beat 3-0.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. And I'd like to bring to the table that it was reminiscent of another side who did something similar but not the same. So these aren't eggs. But
Romania 94?
Yes, 98.
98, sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They all bleached their hair blonde after they'd secured their place in the second round. And Adrian Illy, who was a brilliant player and one of the stars in that side, said that a couple of days before the first match against Colombia, the reason why they did that was because they asked their manager, Angel Iordanescu, if he'd shave his head, and he agreed. And the player said, well, they dye their hair too then, you know.
Right.
If you do something, we'll do something. And they didn't tell anyone that they were going to do this, so it was a secret until they got to the stadium. Yeah. Again, back in those days, you could...
Yeah.
There wasn't so much...
No Insta.
And a manager said afterwards that he felt it created a holiday-like atmosphere and the players were too relaxed. Now, this Romania side were a very good side. Mm-hmm. They'd beaten Colombia, they'd beaten England. And then against Tunisia, they drew. Now, they didn't need to win. They were already through, but still. And then they were put out by Croatia in the following round. A good Croatia side. So it's not a disgrace. It didn't fall off a cliff. But all the players...
But that's what the coach thinks.
Well, that's what the coach thinks. Yeah. And that's what one or two others said. And actually, the now disgraced Michel Platini said that teams shouldn't do this going forward as it had a detrimental effect. Now, that was 3 years before Leeds did that.
Yeah.
And I honestly think you look at the result, and I know Valencia was a tough place to go, and maybe they could have been beaten 3-0.
The Mestalla was amazing then. Though.
It was. Yeah. And maybe they could have been beaten 3-0 on another night there. Who knows? But that, again, that kind of holiday atmosphere and whatnot. Well, Ridsdale saying it was good for team spirit and whatnot. I just thought I'd mention the old Romanians.
I think it's a fair point, though, isn't it? Because, you know, an atmosphere is a delicate thing when it has to be professional as well as sort of cordial and fun. And you don't want things seeming too much like a gang of lads rather than a team of players. And that's, I think, that very much indicates that it may be gone too far that way.
You're right when you're riding on a unicorn in England.
Well, I was going to say, but this is, again, you can take this one or two ways because let's not forget the sides they'd already beaten to get there. But I think my point is just having a look into that Romania situation. I just wonder if they actually had it spot on.
And it created a negative atmosphere.
Well played, sir.
Yeah, negative. And you don't even change it. If the eggs aren't, they wouldn't have been eggs. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
I just want to add a couple of things about the players because you guys have. Maybe it's unfair to say you've glossed over the players they had, but.
Were you on the starting lineup for that night?
Say again?
Nigel Martin in goal.
Yeah.
Hart, Matteo, Ferdinand, Mills back four. Kuehl, Decore, Batty, Bakker, Viduka and Smith up front.
Yeah, it's a good team. And I think...
Wilcox on the bench.
Yeah, Jason Wilcox. Yeah. Forgot about him. Danny Murphy, when I worked with him on TalkSport once, told me that Olivier Decore was one of the best players he ever played against.
Loved the yellow card.
He did. He said he saw him absolutely dominate Steven Gerrard in a game once. And I think Gerrard had to kick him out of the game the following game. I think he fouled him early and Decore had to go off injured. Viduka was a great striker.
Strong.
That season, and no one remembers this because everyone remembers the Liverpool-Newcastle 4-3s. There was a Leeds 4, Liverpool 3, and Viduka scored all four in that game.
He got all four.
And that's what I remember at the time. I was about 19 at the time, thinking, this is the best forward performance I've seen for such a long time. He was amazing.
Yes, he was so good. He was so strong, but yet had such a deft touch as well.
Absolutely. Alan Smith contributed a lot of goals that season
before, my goodness.
I mean, don't say this very often, before Alex Ferguson ruined him. He was a really exciting forward. Michael Bridges was really cute, quite slow, but quite almost like a Teddy Sheringham type guy. But not as good. And Bowyer was, as I said before, was brilliant. Harry Kewell was a great player.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they did have some good players.
I loved Harry Kewell.
Yeah, he was the Kewell in the crown.
He was, but just because they didn't necessarily go on and achieve amazing things at other clubs, this was very much a team of a moment.
Oh, very much.
Hang on, Kewell won the Champions League, did he not, with Liverpool?
Yeah,
he did,
but yeah. His time at Liverpool was still... Sure. Okay, you know what you're doing.
Mate, he went one step further than that lead side.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
And with hair as well.
Yeah.
And almost injured to death.
Yeah.
It's almost like Leicester, isn't it? Not obviously they didn't go on to achieve what Leicester achieved, but it is that it could only have happened then in those circumstances. Yes. They could have, you know, done as well as they did.
Yeah, I think everyone was really gutted when Valencia sort of brushed them aside. Yeah.
Well, Nigel Martin didn't really have a chance with any of the goals. And then Alan Smith piled in on a
It was a case of eggs or no eggs.
It was a case of they did really well to get the semi final. They got to the semi final. That's probably how far they deserved to get.
And Mendieta went nah.
The second half of their Mendieta. The second half of their domestic season, they were amazing that year as well. I think they forced themselves into third place or fourth place maybe, which was another qualification for the UEFA Cup. And as Jim mentioned at the top of this, that's what started to cause their financial problems, because they didn't get into the Champions League where the money was, because fourth place in those days wasn't Champions League, it was UEFA Cup. Yeah. But the second half of that season, they're absolutely fantastic. The financial problems, which, by the way, they're arguably still suffering from now. It's only with Bielsa at the helm, they might force their way back into the Premier League at time recording to try to almost close that narrative and finish that story for once and for all, almost 20 years later. So at the time, they were brilliant. They probably deserved to get as far as they got. They were fantastic eggs. They were something a bit different, isn't it? Doing a team of eggs.
I know what you mean.
A dozen eggs almost.
But like Humpty Dumpty, they had a great fall.
They did.
You have to say, don't you?
And Peter Risdow's horses and men couldn't put them together again.
That's right, yeah. Well, the funny thing is when they went down from the Premier League, they had a lot of those players in that side. There was Viduka was playing.
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it? Every member of that team was a transfer target for someone. But apparently, you know, when it started, things started to get really bad, and like dinner ladies were getting fired and stuff like that. Players were just disappearing, like it would seem like week on week.
Discipline wasn't their strongest suit.
Exactly. Well, when David O'Leary left, Terry Venables came in for a short while before Peter Reid did as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you how...
That was the season that Risdow left, right?
I think
Viduka was still playing for them. He was still banging the goals in then.
Yeah.
And then the following season, they got relegated, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, 04, 03, 04, I think they finished 15th today.
Yes. No. 03-04 is the season they got relegated.
Oh, was it the season?
02-03, they came 15th.
Sorry, right, yeah.
03-04, they came second bottom. And they I think on goal scored, they were above Wolves, but then Wolves and Leicester were relegated. That was the season, I think, under Moyes, where Everton almost went down.
That's right, yeah.
But they just managed to stay out of it.
But that moment was amazing when they trotted out for that second leg against Valencia. They all became eggs.
They did.
Apart from a few, as we say. And they gave us such an amazing watch in that Champions League campaign. Yeah. One that many people won't forget, whoever saw it. Certainly not Leeds fans, anyway.
No, they won't.
So thank you very much, everybody, for listening to episode 4 of our 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. Again, we're back tomorrow.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
What's the most amount of eggs you've seen in one place?
50.
50 eggs, where?
Paul Newman's film.
Oh, yeah, Cool Hand Luke. 50 hard-boiled eggs in one go.
I saw 12 in a packet once.
How many eggs could you eat in a go? You couldn't do 50.
Two or three.
I couldn't do hard. I don't really like hard-boiled eggs. Jim, you don't even like eggs at all, do you?
I don't, no.
You don't eat any kind of egg?
Oh, I will eat it in other things, obviously.
A cake,
for example. But yeah, and I know I'm weird, and I've tried. It's just eggs and I, we see things differently.
I had three eggs Saturday morning.
I had three eggs last night for dinner.
Ooh.
On toast, scrambled.
How do you like
the eggs in the morning? I like mine with a kiss.
Shaved heads.
My problem with eggs is that they taste of egg. And if anything else tastes of egg,
you don't like it.
Well, you go, oh God, this, I don't know.
Taste of egg.
Boiled or fried.
This licorice
I'm satisfied.
Tastes of egg.
Yeah, as long as I
Jim,
get
you ever
my
been to
egg.
Greg's?
You know I have.
Eggs! Eggs! E-double-G-S eggs!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.